I'm John Betzer with my colleague and friend Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, to London, to Chen Mazig, the author most recently of The Wrong Kind of Jew, Mizrahi Manifesto, to help us understand online influence, especially the blight of anti-Semitism that is on campuses and online. And let's look very specifically at what is right now a crisis in London about a vast march that's planned on Saturday of this weekend and the fear of violence. Chen, a very good day to you in London. What can you tell us about online influence and the rallying of these anti-Semitic statements that are around the world, but especially also in London? Good evening to you, Chen.
Good evening. Thank you so much for having me, John and Malcolm. I think that what we're seeing is really a result of years of unchecked hate speech that is going wild and crazy on social media. If it was just a couple of days ago, we saw that the hashtag Hitler was right was posted over 20,000 times on Twitter. If it's on TikTok with a complete unchecked hate speech against the Jewish community. If in the past we thought that we can separate between anti-Israel and anti-Semitism, I think the lines have completely blurred to the point that there's no difference. And people can say in the same breath that they hate Israel and Jews and would go would go clear with this and not have anyone challenging them. And if Jewish people are speaking up, they're automatically being bullied online to the point that they have to block their accounts and lock their own private accounts.
Malcolm?
When we see this split between, I don't know, they call them progressives, I think many call them extremists, and their colleagues in the liberal Jewish community, after October 7th, this seems to have changed. How do you see the lines being drawn now in Europe and in America?
Yeah, I lived in America for a few years, and I'm originally from Israel. But I think I would define myself as a liberal, someone that believes in equality and protection of minorities. But I think that the progressive side of the political map, specifically in America, is losing ground. I think a lot of people on the left have realized that they're not aligned with the people on the far left. They're not aligned with the squad and the people that are saying things in the same time that are so contradicting, that they are saying that, you know, they want to fight for equality and for minorities, but in the same time they disregard completely anyone that is Jewish. That on one breath they would say, you know, we want peace and ceasefire, but they would completely disregard the fact that there's over 240 innocents, including children and babies, held by terrorist organizations in tunnels in Gaza. It's like the world has gone upside down, and instead of everyone siding with the liberal democracy in the Middle East that has freedom of rights for its minorities. Yes, it's not perfect, but the fact that there's 20% of Israel are Israeli Arabs, that LGBTQ plus people are protected, all of this is not enough to tell the world that they need to side with them. And instead, they would side with a terrorist group that has violated little girls, that burned babies alive, that committed the most horrific atrocities that mankind even seen. I mean, I've read testimonies, and it sounds like it was far worse than what we've seen in the Holocaust. So on the one side, they would say that the Holocaust didn't even happen on social media, but that we deserve it, and that what happened in October 7th is completely justified. That's the world we live in online.
And can you help us understand these influences online? What of the, can you say which of them are human beings, which of them are robots, which of them are associated with bad actors, malign influences like Moscow, Tehran? Do we know him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're touching on such an important point, because a lot of the those accounts are fake accounts. We know that there's a lot of people that are also real authentic users that are on those platforms, but it's users that until recently have engaged in social media campaigns like snorting cinnamon. That was something that they were doing on their cameras and were very proud of it. People that were eating detergent pods on social media, and now they have all shifted to speak about the most challenging and difficult to solve geopolitics crisis in the Middle East, as if they're experts. And they're all saying the most insane things that you can think of, but they have big platforms and a lot of young people are engaged. And around them, there's bots. Around them, we know that there's users from Qatar, from Iran, from Russia. We know that they have bot farms, which are basically full rooms of people that are activating several accounts at the same time and all responding and engaging and encouraging them to continue those real users, those authentic users, that what they're saying is right and that they should be anti-Semitic. And I think that's why it's so dangerous today to separate between what's real and fake. And we can't do it because there's a lot of people that are falling into it. A lot of people.
So you think the bot farms right now are amplifying the message of a handful and making it appear that it's widespread. Is that what you think is going on?
Yes, yes, absolutely. Absolutely that. They're amplifying the messaging and they're turning people more radicals because the social media, the main capital in social media is how many followers you have. And if you see that one account that has been explicitly anti-Semitic and anti-Israel and said horrific things about Jews would gain more followers and more support, you would probably incline to maybe even if not doing the same things to do things that are very similar because you want to receive more support. And when they see that they're actually receiving more followers by being virtually anti-Semitic, continue doing it.
Malcolm?
So campus administrators, what can they do to, in the face of the hatred? We see most of them have cowered and have not stood up. And what can the Jewish students on campus do to protect themselves and their friends, their non-Jewish friends, do to help counter these activities?
That's an important point. And that's something that I think we should direct to the administrations. How are you going to protect Jewish students? For a long time, the Jewish community is always try to come up with solutions for how we should be protected. But the truth is that those Jewish students that are going to these universities and paying large sums of money need to be protected. The universities are the ones that have to make sure that it's happening. The Jewish students shouldn't come up with the solutions for them. However, I do know that there are many amazing organizations that are doing work on campus, like Israel on Campus Coalition is one of them. There's a lot of Jewish organizations that are trying to solve this problem. But I think that at the end of the day, it would come up to the administration. It would be up to them to put their foot down and saying this is not acceptable. And by the way, they know how to do it. They know how to do it when it comes to Black Lives Matter. They know how to do it when it comes to LGBTQ rights. And they have done that before. They've been very determined and they draw the lines. They can do it if they wanted to, but I don't think that they want to do it. That's the sad truth.
And about Saturday, right now, the expectation is there's going to be trouble. The Home Secretary Suella Braverman has said it's a hate march. Is it going to be dangerous to be on the streets of central London on Saturday for everybody, but especially for Jewish people?
I'll start with Jewish people because my friends and people that I care about here in London have been avoiding central London every Saturday because there is this march. And I've heard this quote on how, you know, when you go once to a march and someone is saying something racist, you might think twice about the second time you're going. But if you're going on the second time and they're still saying something racist or calling for a genocide of a whole people, you would probably not go again. But it's the fourth march that we've seen jihadi flags. We're seeing chants to murder Jews, violence against the police. And on the other side, on Sundays, usually there's Jewish marches where Jews are standing up for Israel and calling for the release of the hostages. And those marches have zero people being arrested, zero people being attacked, zero police officers being attacked. It's very calm and it's just calling for peace. So I do think that those anti-Israel, pro-Palestine, or pro-Hamas even marches have one agenda, and it's violent. And I think that it's for the best of everyone to avoid London on Saturday when it's happening. But I am interested in what's going to happen on this Saturday because we know that it's the commemoration of the fallen soldiers, the British fallen soldiers in World War II. So it will be interesting to see more evidence on how violent this those marches are, and it will be interesting to see how the British people would react to it, because I know the majority of British people are seeing those pictures and they don't want anything to do with those protesters.
Malcolm, we just have 30 seconds. You have a quick question.
Do you see on the other side that the Jews of all backgrounds in Israel and elsewhere are coming together in ways that we haven't seen in many years? especially after the demonstrations.
30 seconds, Han.
Absolutely. I think that's the most heartwarming and hopeful thing, is that to see that the Jewish community is coming together, no matter our background, no matter our political belief. And I think that's what Am Yisrael Chai is about. We come together when we need to support one another for a better future.
Han Mazig, the book is The Wrong Kind of Jew, Mizrahi Manifesto. Malcolm Honlein, I'm John Beck.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.